Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Namaste, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Tola Talks. Happy Monday, November 27th. That's right, 36 days left, including today and New Year's Day, till the end of the year. That's 10%, right? About 10%. Still time to hit the lottery or lose those 5 pounds you put on over the weekend. It's probably a lot easier to win the lottery. Well, I'll tell you, it's easy to lose the 5 pounds, and we'll talk about that later, a little fitness and yoga, because we've got a great show planned today. Special guest, surfer, a yogi, real estate entrepreneur, world traveler, and a great friend of mine, Mike Tamaro, is going to be calling in later. He's on the East Coast, I believe. Well, I'm not sure. I got to follow him around. It's like I got to get one of those boards up and put a little red dot wherever he goes, Costa Rica. Anyway, we'll talk about that. He's fortunate enough to travel around. He's going to talk a lot about surfing, and we'll learn a little bit about it. I took one lesson once, 2 hours, and that was it for me. But we'll get to that. Mike's going to be calling in shortly. And, I thought I was going to have a couple of co-hosts. I call them my DTLA Rooftop Babes were going to be joining me today. Give a shout out to the two young ladies I met over the weekend. So check it out. I'm hanging out on the rooftop. You guys know I got the cool little spot downtown. They were doing like this little photo shoot. One of them had a bottle of Jack Daniels. Looks like she was making love to Jack Daniels. It's like, yeah, everybody's looking over there like, what's going on with that, right? I'm like, I got to get in on that. So a couple of millennials making their way in the world of content creation. I'm not sure what she was doing with that bottle, but maybe they were pitching Jack Daniels. Who knows, right? I don't know. At least they didn't have a Harley Davidson up there. Maybe pitching Harley. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to Barry Ratcliffe last week. Did you guys hear that interview? A good buddy, another good buddy, actor, comedian. I love having these people I know on the show because they're inspiring. If I've been friends with them, they got to inspire me to be better at myself, really. But good people, and like to support the brethren. But yeah, Barry's rocking it, 30 years as an actor. So if you guys want to hear about that, worked with Don Johnson back in the, I think, 80s and 90s. And pretty cool interview. Check it out, my website. You guys know where to find it. Or, subscribe to the show. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher.com. On that note, the future swoosh, guys. If I were president, let's jump right in here. This is pretty straightforward. Now, if you're 80 years old or over, may not like it, but it's what I would do. Driver's license expires in 63 years. That means you have to get tested if you get your license at 17. That is to say, it expires when you turn 80. And then every 5 years should we do it? Every 7 years? Doesn't really matter. 5, 7, even 10 years. You got to get that. You guys have to retake the test. I'm sorry to say, because there's so many things happening when you get to the age of 80. First of all, it's higher than our lifespan, but here we go. AAA says, facts, 80% of people in their 70s suffer from arthritis, crippling inflammation of the joints, which makes turning, flexing, etc., really painful. Twisting, looking, painful. What does that mean? Well, 75% of drivers 65 or older report using one or more medications. Well, I guess that's as opposed to the younger drivers. They're just smoking pot or, drinking that Fody. If you're a little older, maybe you're taking meds. And per mile traveled, fatal crashes rise sharply, all right, once you get over 80 years of age. No doubt in 2015, there's 40 million licensed drivers over the age of 65. They say that might be up to 70 million by the time 2030 rolls around. Let's see, 2030, yikes. I might be in that category. Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, who knows? 2036, I'll be running for president. So there you go, guys, if I were president, because really, you got to keep the roads safe, and it's unfortunate, but as you get older, everything slows down. Everything goes bad, and a lot of times you're not fixing that. Maybe your glasses, you need to get them upgraded, whatever, you're taking some things. So I think we got to do that. By the time you turn 80, you got to get tested again. Hopefully that'll make things a little bit safer on the roads. Again, that's if I were president. Let's jump right into world news. I was going to do one story, but two stories here. First story, it's kudos, congrats, Prince Henry of Wales, a.k.a. Prince Harry. Everybody saw that, right? That's old news by now. U.S. actress Meghan Markle. She's really hot and really attractive, and she seems very regal, no doubt. Well, it's a blind date, right? It says she was set up with by her friend Marcus Anderson, whoever that is. And Prince Harry said she was the one. Very first time we met, he knew that. Well, that's it, ladies. Come to Hollywood to be a star? You become regal. You never know. So come to Hollywood. If that's your journey, I don't know. I don't know if I recommend it. But kudos. Congrats, Meghan. You have any sisters out there? I don't know. Still single. Well, here's the real story I want to talk about. This is Bitcoin. Bitcoin's billionaires. I don't know. Not yet. Maybe. Did you guys see that on Crackle? I think I told you. Stephanie Drapeau, my dear friend, was the first Tola Yoga here. I mean Tola Yoga. Tola Talk. Wow, man. My God. We're going to talk Tola a little bit later. I just had two of my students text me in the last hour on the way here saying, when's our next class? Jones and already, right after Thanksgiving. But no, Bitcoin, right? You guys know. Well, Stephanie was in that startup show. It's called Startup on Crackle. It's called GenCoin is what they call it, but it's a cryptocurrency. Kind of cool show. Just watch it in the beginning, and then it kind of turned into Miami Vice a little bit, but it's all good. Miami Vice. Barry was on Miami Vice, by the way. But it's a virtual currency, and it hit a record high of $9,700. It jumped 4.5% today. This thing's been like skyrocketing. I think it's gone up 10 times. Started the year at 1,000, and it's close to 10,000, so pretty damn good return. However, how do you get that return? This is a largely unregulated, and it bypasses traditional banking systems. But is it really currency? Well, Jamie Dimon, he's the chief executive of JP Morgan Chase. He said it's a fraud. Eventually, it will be closed because there's no one responsible for backing the value of these bitcoins. It's like currency, right? But there's nothing behind it. Said their growth is increasing concern to international regulators, right? And this thing was invented. It says it was an unknown person or group of people under the name Satoshi Nakamoto in 2009, peer-to-peer electronic cash system. So the first Bitcoin transaction in the real world, because it was used in the real world, to purchase two pizzas delivered by Papa John. Way to go. I wonder if that was at like the Super Bowl last year. Who knows? But Bitcoin was created for a process which is called mining. I don't know. I kind of dug a little bit about it. It doesn't make much sense to me, but exchange it for other currencies, products, or services. Cambridge University said that there's 6 million unique users of Bitcoin. You know, I know this place, this restaurant that has a Bitcoin machine, and occasionally people would go use that. Not frequently, but I guess you get points, whatever. Again, I'm not too up on the whole Bitcoin thing, but it's not backed by anything. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. Well, good luck on that, guys, if you're buying or earning Bitcoin. Books, movies, music, and more. This is one of my favorite segments of the show. And last week, if you recall, I said I was going to go see Justice League, which I did. Wow. Well, if you're a fan of Superman, Batman, all of the above, I guess, there's too many spoiler alerts. What can I say? If you don't want to hear anything about it, I'm not going to give it all away, but I liked it. Gets off to a slow start, guys. It's a two-hour film. It does feel pretty quick once you get going, but here we go. Bruce Wayne, the Batman, he enlists the help of his new friend, Wonder Woman. She's awesome, by the way, Gal Gadot, to face an even greater enemy. So it's kind of cute in the beginning, and it leaves off where Batman versus Superman ends. So if you saw that movie, Superman dies, right? Well, what do you think happens in this movie? Can't really give it away too much, but figure it out. It is funny. It's heartfelt. Again, kind of comes out of the starting gates a bit slow, but it picks up steam, and it finishes strong, without a doubt. Finishes strong. It's made 300 million worldwide, and it cost about 300 million to make. Yeah, and you'll learn, see, experience Aquaman, The Flash, Cyborg, and of course, my man Superman, hate to say it, but you will see him again. And the most predictable line, I like to see movies where those lines are predictable in the entire film, right? The whole, from soup to nuts, the very last line is the most predictable line. So anybody watching this film, I guarantee you, well, let's say, I was going to say half of you will guess the final line, but let's just say maybe you're a little slow going after the holidays. 30%, a third of you will guess that final line. I think you will. It's easy to go. But let me tell you, because I watched a couple of movies this week, and one of them I rewatched, and I reviewed this back in the day when Tola Talks was a daily show. The Whackness, that was made in 2008. Let me tell you, that I give 5 stars. Well, let's put it this way, 4.5 stars. I rate that higher than Justice League. Now, that movie cost $6 million to make and only made $3 million. Why? Who knows? It's the summer of 1994. The streets of New York are pulsing with hip-hop. Oh, man, Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., Method Man's in this. Man, Ready to Die, that's B.I.G.'s first album, only studio album. That came out on September 13th of that year. So, but that summer, Biggie was, well, he had been featured on other, with other artists, but that summer, he was like all the rage, right? Mixtapes, and everybody knew about it. But here's this lonely teenager pot dealer. They call him the drug dealer. Ooh, back in the day. I remember 94. I was on the streets of New York. Josh Peck does a great job as Luke Shapiro, Method Man, big time player in the film. But he's an outcast. He's this outcast kid, high school senior. He forms an unlikely friendship with this wacky, i.e. not that's not where they get the word whackness. I'll tell you how they get that word. But he's this psychotherapist friend, Dr. Squires, played by Ben Kingsley. He does an amazing job. What a role for him. And he falls in love, well, Luke Shapiro falls in love with Kingsley's stepdaughter, Stephanie, who's this hot, frivolous, fun, and a biatch, Olivia Thirlby. She's really good. Everybody, Mary-Kate Olsen's in this. She's this bohemian babe. Famke Jensen's in this from X-Men. She's as cold as ice. She does a great job. And this is where they get the name, even though it's really about the streets, pot, hip-hop, this unlikely friendship, budding love. Well, anyway, she says, you know what your problem is, Shapiro? You have a really shitty way of looking at things. I look at the dopeness. You look at the whackness. There you go. Well, because he had a rough go and his parents were struggling. He gets evicted. Like, a lot of shit happens in the summer for this kid. And here he is going to college, falls in love. And it's three simple words. They're ruinous words for him. He ekes them out in this really cool shower scene, by the way. He says, I love you. Ah, when that happens, forget about it. Oh, shit, it's the fan. And you know who's in that, too? It's Aaron Yu. He's from that show Startup on Crackle. But go see, if you haven't seen it, find it, Google it, you'll find it. The Whackness. Really, really good film. Like I said, given that 4.5, pushing 5 stars, over top Justice League. All right, well, Get Your Shit Together Award. And I know Mike's going to be calling in. I'm pretty psyched to be talking about surfing with him because I did a little research and kind of dug up a couple other movies that I really, really like. So I always get a chance to talk film when I can. But the Get Your Shit Together Award, everybody knows that. Give it out to the bozo of the day or multiple folks. Sometimes we do a reversal of bad fortune and give it out to someone who's really got their shit together, right? But today, it's real straightforward. Online scams and scammers, right? That's a joke. Unbelievable. There's so many shysters out in the world. My buddy Mike, you'll see, I call him Mikey T, right? Or a couple of Italian guys, Richie T, Mikey T, we got that going. And we were talking about all these shysters out there, these small-time scammers. There's 164 million Americans that supposedly went shopping over the Thanksgiving weekend, probably more than that, right? And it's the first time more shoppers plan to shop online than in these big box retailers, right? So $13 billion of annual criminal fraud. It's huge, right? five things you can do. Give you some tips here. Be cautious on a mobile device, of course. When you're on a mobile device, first of all, for these old bags like myself, we don't see too well. So even clicking around, you know, you got to be careful. Look out for bogus apps. No doubt there's apps out there that steal your personal data. I don't know. I don't even like that. When I have to go and get a new app, first of all, I'm doing it when I'm with someone. Man, you millennials, you know what you're doing. I like to kind of say, hey, is this for real? What are we doing? Let's get this going. I don't know. I just hate downloading things, clicking things, thinking, ah, it's going to go somewhere. Number three, don't click unquestionable links. Of course not. I mean, it looks like a porn site. Don't go there unless you want to. Well, maybe. See somebody you like. Who knows? Number four, always use secure network connections. And I know about these because I have a website, right, richtola.com, and got called by GoDaddy about a year ago and said, well, you know, we really need to make your site secure, so we're going to charge you another $150 or something like that. And I'm like, so you're going to give you $150 and you're just going to put a little thing up there that says secure? It's like, yeah, but you got to do it. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I was scammed, but no, I did it. My site is secure without a doubt. You want to buy some videos there. But no, it's important. They do. They verify your site. You're better off going with a secure site than a non-secure site. People pay to have it, and they do verify it, check it, whatever they did. Who knows? But I was happy to pay. And number five, practice good security hygiene. Nah, that's all about passwords. I don't know about you guys, but I have to keep a spreadsheet. I have so many passwords. I don't use the same. Don't use the same password for everything, by the way. Everybody knows that, no doubt. And it's prime time this time of year for these scumbags to steal your data, your money, etc. Check this site out. That's where I went to look at some of this facts here. IC3, it's called Internet Crime Complaint Center. So it's IC3, Crime Complaint Center. You could file claims, but you can learn a lot. Protect yourself. It's online. Things are just getting a little scattered for sure, no doubt. So keep yourself safe online this holiday season. Fitness and Tola Yoga. Well, I'm going to keep this short and sweet because we will be talking fitness with my guest, Mike. Definitely is into fitness. Can't be a surfer, right? Can't be a surfer. Can't be a yogi. This guy runs. So the other day, I mean, the quick, and he's not on yet. We'll talk fitness and Tola Yoga. But I on the phone with him, and he said, "I'm going to go for a run, a quick run." I said, "What's a quick run?" He said, "Ah, like 5 miles." I said, 5 miles? What's that take? Like 50 minutes?" He goes, 50 minutes? I do that in 33 minutes." I said, 30? What the? I ran the Silver Lake Reservoir once, 2.2 miles in under 15 minutes once. Unbelievable. Guy's a jackrabbit. Three tips for you, though. We're not going to talk too much about fit. Everybody knows. You got 36 days left, guys. So if you're still trying to lose weight, you can do it. You want to get back into the gym, you can do it. You got 5 weeks or so, tell yourself you're going to work out 10 times. It's only twice a week, right? It's every other day, pretty much. Every 2 days, get a workout in. That would be awesome. Well, that would give you more workouts. What am I saying? That's 18 workouts. Wow, that's even better. Man, quickly do the math. But here's what I do whenever I go out and buy canned goods, because I do buy canned goods or prepackaged goods, glass, you know, something sealed, preservatives, etc. First thing I look at is sodium. And I say count because I look at the count. Look on the back of the label. You got to read labels, guys, no doubt. First of all, if you're doing anything in the vegetable world, I know this, try to go organic. It's just better. Less sprays, I presume. Hope it's not a scam. But go for the organic when it's fresh and when it's canned. Sodium is the number one thing you want to avoid. Never use that little white salt bottle, by the way. Don't do it. Sugar, number two. Look at those numbers. Never use the little white bottle sugar. Well, same thing with cocaine. I guess you put that in the same category. Anything a little white you could chop up in tiny granules, probably stay away from it. No, truly, sodium and sugar, not necessary. Get the lowest amount. So when you're buying something, of course, when you go for the triple chocolate whatever, it's not going to have the lowest sugar. You'd be surprised. Interestingly enough, the store brands, not the upscale brands, but most of these store brands, because they spend less money for preservatives and sodium, there's less sodium. interestingly enough. So save some money. Definitely can save some money if you focus on those store brands. And the third is calories. So that's what I do. I look at all three: sodium, sugar, and calories. Got to count those. I'm not counting them up per se, but when you get a can of tuna, some tuna, it's going to be 250, 300, and others it's 180. Go for the 180, right? If you can get the one at 35, even better. But go for that. It's going to keep your skin thin. And what does that mean? Well, grab a hold of your skin real quick and feel it and say, what's that feel like? Is it kind of thick and it's got a lot of fat there? Well, you could iron that out, lean that out. Another day, another workout, right? That's my motto. Guys know it. As far as yoga goes, that's easy. Yoga, stretches, Tola yoga, stretches, classes on the internet, try it, right? You guys can do it. There's so many things you can do on the internet now. I just love getting out and walk, remember? Walk 10 minutes, turn around and come back. That's your mile. Well, if you're Mikey T, I mean, it'll be like he'll cover 3 miles in that same period of time. Now, but guys, you could do it. Set your mind to it. You know, get focused on that. These are simple things you can do to improve your health, for sure. Improve what you feel like. And no doubt, be better at everything. Because you're going to feel better, look better, etc., etc. All right. Man, he's going to be calling in any minute, I know. Special guest, man. This guy, let me tell you, I met him, quick little intro before Mike gets on the phone here. I met him about 10 years ago, good friends with his father, actually, Wall Streeter. His father's a Wall Street guy that I did some business with back in the day. And we met about 10 years back. He was a practicing yogi, not become a yoga teacher, and he was into surfing big time and living down in Pacific Beach. You guys know PB? Well, Pacific Beach down there, oh my God, talk about you cannot be into yoga, into surfing and yoga, no doubt. So we met in an instant connection, you know, when two people kind of jive, Total Fitness dude, and started talking to me a lot about surfing because that's a passion, right? Anybody who knows anyone who surfs knows that that's a passion, that they got to have their feet in the water, I guess. Me, I got to have boots on concrete, you know, concrete under my feet. But, yeah, so we met, hit it off. I think I inspired him. He'll talk about that. I think I inspired Mike to go become a yoga teacher. He did become a yoga teacher. Add that to the repertoire. Did some traveling. Always done some traveling. We have that in common. I guess brethren who like to, I call it Jeremiah Johnson. You guys see that movie? Just takes off into the wilderness. Oh, yeah. Got to do it. So, yeah, and then Mike's been surfing for, I'm not sure how long, but he's a millennial. Kind of tail end of that. Remember my guest, Benjamin Christopher Smith, the Hollywood writer? We talked millennials. Well, same with Mike. He's on the tail end of that. So in the millennial world, which, you know, starts when folks are born in 85, makes you guys a little bit older, but millennial world, no doubt. He's on the arc of that. So we'll get a little flavor for that. And how does one become a world traveler when, doesn't it take a few shekels to live large or to live small? Anyway, so when we get him on the phone, we're going to be talking about that because I did a little research too. Like I said, I tried it once and it was this 2-hour lesson. This guy was probably like 19 years old. And I'll give you that quick story as we get him on the phone. And I see, guys, for those of you who are calling, sorry, I mean, I didn't know you want to get some questions in here, but I'm kind of waiting for my man to give a call. So once he calls, maybe we'll have time to get your questions answered. Oh, there he is right now. So that's why I couldn't take you guys. Let's say hello to Mike Tamaro.
We're going to be talking about that because I did a little research.
Oh, you got that radio on, huh?
Yeah, I was just hearing the show, listening to the show.
I'm like, okay, there's that little delay. Mike Tamaro, what's going on?
Rich Tola, all good, my man, all good. How you doing?
Oh, it's great. I was just giving a little preview here, saying you were living PB, Pacific Beach, about 10 years ago we met, right? And then, tell me. Now, I gave it a little preface here. You've been into surfing, what, since you were a kid? When did you start surfing?
I started surfing when I'm, you know, I'm 32 years old. I started surfing when I was about 14 years old. So, like 17 years now.
Okay, I got that. Yeah, because you're like young, right? Most of these big time pros start way young. So that's a good age.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, they start, you know, a lot of guys start earlier, you know, 8, 9 years old. I was always a beach kid, but, you know, when I really got into it, I don't like to say, hey, I started. When I really got serious about it, like working out and all that stuff, it was like 14, 15 years old. That's kind of when I went to like a new level with it.
Right. Right. Let me give a definition here. I looked this up. I mean, I took one lesson. Surfing is a surface water sport in which the wave rider, referred to as a surfer, rides on the forward or deep face of a moving wave, which is usually carrying the surfer towards the shore. What does that mean, usually? Are there waves that go the other way?
Like, what? I don't know. I've never... you could get some backwash, you know. You could definitely get a little backwash, but maybe they're referring to somebody, you know, maybe you missed the wave or you don't surf it good or something. But that's usually the plan.
You're sitting on the board smoking a little too much ganja out there and start surfing the other way. No, it says
you could. We got a lot of that too.
Of course,
we got a lot of the ganja.
No, I'm telling you, I took this one and what was the best part about it is you're sitting on that board, looking out into like oblivion. It's very it's like therapeutic, waiting for waves. Like, you guys sort of just wait patiently.
I think there's, you know, that's what, you know, really, that's why I loved it, is it is my form of therapy, you know. And I really do think that a lot of people, that's what the hook is, you know. You're the minute you enter the ocean, you're entering a different world. You know, and you gotta let go.
You're no longer
in control.
Kind of like the yoga studio. When you enter into the studio, you gotta let go. No judgment.
Dude, 100%. I mean, you gotta drop it all.
Now, did yoga come about? How did yoga come about for you? Because I know you were practicing when I met you. I was teaching. I'd been teaching a couple of years, right? And then you became a teacher. But did yoga, was that because of surfing? Or why did yoga come into the picture? How'd that work?
Yeah, yoga came about. I really wanted to kind of complement the surfing, and I wanted something that was going to really, you know, help with my muscles and the lengthening and all the benefits you get from yoga. So that inspired me to, you know, to get into it. But a lot of it was after I met you. I remember that time in San Diego. You know, I saw obviously that, you know, the physical benefits that it gets when, you know, hanging out with you, but. You know, what attracted me was the mental, you know, the mental side of it, and meeting you and speaking with you and saying, wow, this guy's really, he's very calm and he's very centered, you know, because I think we're all looking for that.
Without a doubt. And we both experienced New York City, right? I mean, you've done real estate there as well as the Hamptons. I know you did well selling like the multi-million dollar homes, right? That's what afforded you the ability to travel, right? Now, they just got, what, Costa Rica for a year? Tell me, yeah, you've been...
Yeah, just got back, you know. I was moved down to Costa Rica. I traveled all over Central America, but lived in Costa Rica for the last year. And, you know, I mean, it was like two different worlds. I went from the high-stake real estate game in New York City and the Hamptons to just, you know, craziness out there. And that
living in a hut?
To a very low-key. Yeah, basically living in a hut and just kind of going off the grid. It was... you know, it was much needed, as I'm sure you could understand. You know, it can be a great business, but it's got a lot of negatives too.
Oh yeah, it could wear you down. Off the grid. That reminds me of a movie called Night and Day. Is Tom Cruise, you ever see that? With he goes off the grid. That's all right. It's a good one with Cameron Diaz. Whatever. So speaking of which, so let me ask you that, because you surfed. I guess you surfed. Well, you're in Florida, right? Is it New York or Florida?
I'm in Florida. I'm doing a little layover here, and I'm cracking up when I'm listening to the beginning of your show talking about the licenses and how you have to get the new license.
Oh, in Florida, they're all 80.
You got to be careful, man. I mean, it's very true.
No, I'm only
kidding. What you said is, I mean, look, I don't want to get off topic, but it's very true. You know, you should have to retake your... It's scary. You drive around down here. I mean, you know, it can be very dangerous.
Oh, and who remembers? I mean, I don't remember these laws. I mean, should definitely bone up on this. But 80 is a good number. Well, by the way, so you surfed well, a lot of different places. Is it different? Are these waves different? I mean, like in terms of East Coast versus West Coast, Costa Rica versus El Salvador, is it different?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's very different. You know, where we're from, East Coast, you know, Florida, you're on the Atlantic. So the Atlantic Ocean certainly has its moments. But, you know, once you get over to California and it's the same ocean in Costa Rica, El Salvador, you're on the Pacific. And the Pacific is just, you know, it just produces much larger waves, much more consistent. You know, as a surfer, if you're going to be living in the U.S., the only place to go is California, you know, or maybe Oregon. But, you know,
or Hawaii, though, right? If you go to the North
Hawaii, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Hawaii is, you know, the epicenter.
Epicenter, right. Well,
biggest waves I've ever seen. I've never seen waves that size. And Hawaii is just wild, as you know.
Oh, and said the biggest, that's the largest wave ever surfed, they said, the Guinness Book of World Records says it's 78 feet. By Garrett McNamara. Well, this was in Portugal, it said. Nazaré, Portugal. That's pretty...
Yeah, Nazaré. Yeah, Garrett, he's crazy. He's crazy, but yeah.
Wow. Now, big wave surfing, that's a different thing, where they tug you out, right? You get out there and big, right, the giant waves.
I think, yes, it's a different thing, and it attracts a different person. They actually have a new professional, you know, world tour for big wave surfers. Mm. You know, they're a distinct group, and I met a couple of those guys. You gotta, you know, they're different breeds. You gotta have a few screws, screw loose to go do that, because it's some scary shit. I mean, even regular waves are enough. I mean, you get the big waves, that's... You got to train for that. I mean, those guys train all the time. They can hold their breath for up to 2 minutes. I mean, that's some serious stuff there.
Wow, because when you go under. Now, what's considered a normal big wave? Like if you're surfing.
I mean, a normal big wave is going to be like on a daily basis in Costa Rica. It was always, you know, they say head high. So 4 to 6 feet is a good size, you know, good size wave.
Wow.
But I mean, once you get into the 10 foot plus, I mean, you're getting up there. That starts to get big. 10 foot and above is like, you know, some big surf.
Blacks Beach, that I know you surf. They get big waves down there. Tell them about Blacks Beach.
Oh, Blacks Beach is that's a great spot, man. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful beaches in California. It's in, you walk down the cliffs of San Diego in La Jolla, San Diego, and yeah, probably some of the biggest waves too in California. You walk down this cliff, you're out there, man, you're on your own down there.
Mm. Yeah, no, I've never been heard about it, because you have to kind of climb down there, right?
Oh yeah, I did it every day. You got to climb down this pretty steep cliff. I mean, it's 20 minutes down, 20 minutes up. I mean, 30 minutes up sometimes if you take a slow route, you know. You get your workout in, you climb down, you surf for a few hours, you climb up. I mean, you don't have to do anything else the rest of the day.
Right. Most people, no doubt. Speaking of which, you're into fitness, right? You're running. I know you told me the other day, I was like trying to do the numbers. I'm like, damn, like a jackrabbit.
Oh, fitness is, fitness is, well, as you know, I mean, you are the guy. I mean, that's what it's about. Running for me is, you know, I kind of have to, you know, it's a very therapeutic process, you know, as well. And yeah, we were laughing about it the other day, man. It's just, you know, I just take off when I go. It's like I get in the zone and, you know, that's it.
Yeah, it was the guy, one guy, you say one guy wanted to run with you. You're like, dude, I can't run with you.
This guy comes up to me on the beach, you know, I'm down there in Costa Rica, I'd run at low tide when it was flat, the beach was flat, and he comes up and he says, hey, can I go for a run with you? And I started laughing. I said, well, you could try. I'm not trying to say that, like, you know, in a mean way. I just said, I don't think you're going to be able to make it, you know, because it's amazing. I mean, a lot of people, honestly, I don't want to, you know, point people out, but a lot of people really can't even do a mile, you know. There's a lot of people who at 1 mile, they're tapped out, you know. And for me, 1 mile, I'm just getting going. I mean, that's just to kind of get the blood flowing, you know. And it's so I'm laughing, and the guy tapped out. He got halfway through, and the first mile, and he said, you know, get through this and turn it around.
Tapped out. Well, speaking of Costa Rica, because I was curious, I've never been there, and you know me, I need my daily diet of weights, daily diet of total yoga. I can mix it all in. I do. I don't run anymore. I do the 5 mile. On the street, but not running. But is there are there like gyms with like weight rooms and yoga rooms and all that, or is it not really the gym world there?
No, there definitely are, but it depends on where you are in Costa Rica, because you know, I'd say 70% of Costa Rica, you really are off the grid. I mean, a lot of people move there just for that reason. You're not going to be around anything. But where I lived, I had to have some civilization, and I was living outside of a town called Jaco, which is probably one of the most popular areas, Jaco Beach. I was living in Playa Hermosa, about 10 minutes outside there. And yeah, there was a couple gyms right there. They'd be right up your alley. You know, you get all sorts of, you know, guys, girls in there, and, you know, people, they're very much into it. You know, they know what they're doing, and yoga for sure. They have tons of yoga retreats. So people, yoga is huge down there. You know, people go down there to find themselves all the time.
Right. They're finding themselves. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you've been fortunate enough to, well, you lived a lot of different places, much like I did, and now you're on the move, you told me. When's the next stop?
I'm on the move. Yeah, I'm on the move, man. I feel like I'm in witness protection. I'm hiding out down here in Florida.
Well, you dropped your Facebook. You're like, I'm out. I'm out.
I got my burner phone. I'm like, you know, you're the only guy who's got the contact info.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, I Costa Rica was a great experience, you know, and it has its plus and minuses. But back, and I had a quick layover here in Florida, kind of just reorganizing. And next stop is Medellin, Colombia. I went down there on a whim for a quick 5-day visit, and I fell in love with it. Fell in love with the city, the people, everything.
Yeah, you were saying it's like 4 million people, Medellin?
Yeah, Medellin is the city itself has 4 million people, and it's you know, if you were to ask, okay, what's one word that would describe it? I would just say impressive. I was for a South American city. You know, I was just very impressed. It's beautiful, very clean, incredible metro system, very efficient. The people are very clean, very friendly, good food. Right up your alley, because I know you. You know, you're a metropolitan guy. You like to have boots on the ground in the concrete. And
me too.
So yeah, it'd be a good spot for you too. Definitely worth visiting.
Well, as I said to you before, I said get there once you're settled in there. You know, last a month or two, and I know I'm like, oh, got a birthday coming up in March. I have to make my way.
Best above all, you know, the women. I mean, Miss Columbia, you saw her for Miss Universe. She came in second. She lost out to the woman from South Africa last night, but Columbia came in second place for a good reason.
Unbelievable. No, there's no doubt. And you're a single gentleman like myself. We're open, in between opportunities. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you about real estate, because I know, well, with me, real estate kind of gets in your blood. And you did it for a bunch of years and did well at it, enough to travel around and surf and everything. So do you kind of always on the lookout for deals, or where are you now with that?
Oh, always. I mean, I think you can relate to this. It's one of those businesses that if you get in and you make some money in it and you're successful, it's in your blood. It doesn't ever leave. You can kind of remove yourself from the business, but it's always there, you know, in the background. And so, yeah, man, everywhere I go, you know, I'm always looking at deals and deals coming in emails. You walk by a building, you see something. I'm always, hey, what's the price on that? You know, let me get some info, and looking for a phone number to talk to somebody about that. So any market I drop in, I'm always interested to, you know what's going on in the market and what are the prices.
And what's exciting about being a runner, right? I mean, I do this because I walk, is that you're always observing what's happening in the immediate marketplace, right? When you're doing that, it's like, hey, I saw this, that's this sign. You know, with real estate especially, things change on like a weekly basis, right? Boom, all of a sudden there's a fence up and they're doing construction. You're curious. Yeah. So it must be a good
100%,
way.
100%. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people, as you know, we've laughed about this in the past. They like to, everybody's a real estate agent, right? Everybody knows, you know, oh, I know about real estate. And, you know, it's always comical because, things can change in a minute, you know, and for whatever which reason, the economy in the world, you know, stock goes up, something happens, you know, it's always fluctuating. And you have to have your finger on the pulse of the market in whatever market you are in, you know, whether it's Medellin or Los Angeles, downtown, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills. I mean, there's no one market for anything.
Right, without a doubt. So you have no fear then. Just go in. I mean, you're going to countries that people say, ooh, South America, ooh, I'm going to get kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
You better not buy that Gucci suit or shoes.
No, I mean, the first person I actually remember I was talking to, and I said, you know, I said, I'm going to Medellin, you know, Medellin, Colombia. And they're all like, oh, my God. It wasn't, you know, a bunch of people, you know, because everybody associates it with the history and mm-hmm. Pablo Escobar and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, look at you like, you know, you lost your mind. And, no, but, you know, I mean, that country has turned a new page for sure. And that's fortunately in their past. But, yeah, I think with all these places, I mean, you can't have any fear because it's, as you know, I mean, you just got to, you got to do it. And the cool thing about going to these places, I have found for myself and anybody who's interested in traveling, as you know, it's whether you want to or not, you will be forced to be in a situation that is outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so you will be forced to grow and kind of check yourself and be tested. And it's whether you want to or not, you're going to end up in that position, and usually at the strangest moment. So, but what doesn't kill you, as they say, makes you stronger. So, you know, you come back and it's almost like, you know, I don't want to use this reference as you went to war because those guys are the real heroes, but you go to these places that you wouldn't have normally gone to if you stayed in your comfort zone. And, you know, it makes you a stronger person.
Without a doubt. No, it makes you stronger. It makes you more confident and comfortable in any situation. Now, going forward, you're sort of like, you have that experience, right, where the you know, the spidey senses might go up, where it's like, all right, maybe I should, you know, zip across the street over here. You just sort of internally know what to do next once you've had it, without a
exactly.
doubt. Yeah, you got to be confident. But you've experienced women. I remember you telling me this a while ago. You were saying this gal came through by herself, traveling through Costa Rica. I mean, do you see a lot of women come through by themselves, just traveling when you are?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I definitely do, and it's usually the type of woman that I meet will be, you know, they're usually on some sort of a quest or a exploration, you know, and it's usually something that's happened in their life from wherever they come from. And you know, they're it's a challenge, you know. I'll meet someone and it takes guts, you know. If I meet a girl who's traveling by herself in a foreign country, especially in Central America or South America, which, you know, there are safer places probably to visit, yeah, I mean, it definitely does take a type of person. And but it's cool. I mean, there's nothing that I don't think there's anything that should hold someone back from doing it. Like, you know, like we said, if you use street smarts and, you know, you don't put yourself in positions that you wouldn't anywhere, you know, you can have a great experience.
No doubt. That's what it's about, expanding your horizons. Well, speaking of horizons, I do want to mention a couple surf movies. These are the best, and then you might have a couple to add to the equation. I listed five that I've watched. Really, like Point Break was my favorite. You guys remember that from 1991? Johnny Utah, Keanu Reeves, Bodie, Patrick Swayze, Lori Petty, Gary Busey. You see that, Mike?
Point Break. One of the best.
Yeah, one of the best. Talk about love versus war, right? Oof.
Oh yeah.
My second was Blue Crush, a 2002 movie. Remember Kate Bosworth, Matthew Davis, and Michelle Rodriguez kind of popped on that one. I like that one, right? Love and War Again.
Movie. Yeah, some people said it was cheesy, but it was a classic. You know, it was a good feel-good.
Right, a good feel-good movie. Now, this movie was heartfelt. Soul Surfer, with the true story, Bethany Hamilton, yeah. And she lost her arm in a shark attack. Oh, crazy. Anna Sophia Robb does a great job with that. And that was 2011. Helen Hunt, Dennis Quaid. Did that movie, guys, if you haven't seen that, definitely talk about courage and coming back. Whew. It was amazing. Wow. She came back to win.
She's now Bethany Hamilton. I think she's ranked number two in the world for women professional surfers.
Unbelievable.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
You know, unbelievable.
Yeah, years later, see? I mean, talk about passion. You got to have that passion. Like I said, I tried it. I did a two-hour thing. I don't know, but I'll fill you in when we get to the end of this here. My fourth one was called Riding Giants. Remember that documentary?
Wow.
2004.
Oh, yeah.
Stacy Peralta. Yeah. Pays homage to Jeff Clark and Laird Hamilton, part sport history, part thrill ride. Yeah, that was another one, right? You saw that?
And then, Riding Giants. Yeah, that goes back to what we were saying. You know, those are the crazy guys, you know, who ride those just massive, biggest waves in the world.
Biggest waves. And he also made, folks, he made Dogtown and Z-Boys. You see that one? That was a skateboard, narrated by Sean Penn. It was a skateboard film. But basically, skateboarding was the land-based pastime for these surfers. Because the surfers, that's kind of where it evolved into skateboarding. Did you see that one?
Right. Yeah, Dogtown and the Z-Boys. Yep. That was a classic, man. Classic. Based on a true story.
Yep.
You know, based on a true story. He actually, the main character, drawing a blank on his name, the real-life guy, unfortunately, he passed away about a year ago.
Tony something, Alva or something?
Mm. Yeah.
I know
yeah,
Tony Hawk was in it. And,
oh yeah, that was, you know, back
Dogtown, that's that Cali, that's Venice Beach, right? Dogtown,
Venice Beach, man. Venice Beach Pier, Dogtown and the Z-Boys, man,
they ran that place. Unbelievable. Now here's the movie that ruined it for me. This is true. In 1975, before you were born, I was 12 years old. Okay, now imagine this. It's June 20th, it comes out, Jaws comes out, Spielberg, unbelievable. This film, well, won 3 Oscars, but it comes out, it ruined it. Because up until June 20th, 1975, you couldn't get me out of the water. But then,
Yeah,
you're a 12-year-old, so you kind of get it. The first girl that gets killed, the bonfire, having a party, boom, the shark man. Then there's a young boy, a guy loses its leg. Unbelievable. They screwed it up for me. Great white shark in the shores of the New England. And here I am going to the Jersey Shore. Scared the shit out of me.
Right. Yeah, you're like, I can't go in anymore. I can't do it.
I'm telling you. Imagine being that. It's like the worst possible age. I think if you were at least 8, you were too young. If you were 20, you didn't give a shit. But yeah, it changed the perspective of the whole. Every time I look at the ocean, I think, amazing place, but I got some great whites going to come take a bite out of my ass. Well,
I don't know. I mean, they're there, man. They're out there for sure.
They're there. Do you ever? I mean, there was incidents down in La Jolla area. Remember that? Do you ever like think about it? Do you get afraid of it? Sharks?
Sure. I mean, I think anybody who says they don't think about it is just BSing you, or they're not scared of it, but. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're like a boxer, you can't have the doubts. You know, you got to go in there and just you got to push it to the side, because there's been times, sure, man, when you think about it, you kind of let it get to you, you get spooked out, and there have been a couple times where I've gotten out of the water. But if I'm by myself, it's a gloomy day, you're just getting a bad energy, a bad vibe. Yeah, but you know, if you're usually around a group of people, you're. It's better.
Feels
odd,
a little better, you know? Right? Like, maybe he's not going to get me. You ever say, like, you know, from the movie, the famous line, we're going to need a bigger boat. It's like, I'm going to need a bigger board. No.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the thing, you know. But, I mean, hey, I've met guys, Australian guys on my travels, and, you know, those guys are some of the craziest guys I've met. I mean, you read the story a couple of years ago. The one dad, his son was being attacked at the beach in Australia. The dad had a revolver with him, swam out to save the kid, punched the shark in the nose, and then shot it and brought his son into shore, and they bandaged him up. I mean, talk about bravery. I mean, the Australian guys don't even care. They'll wrestle a shark if they see it.
It's unbelievable.
I'd be swimming, I'm like, you know, get me away. These guys, they don't even care because they deal with them every day.
Oh, yeah. It's, well.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, let me ask you this one final question here, because we got to get rolling. But what advice do you have? Sure. What advice can you give? You're, like I said, you're on the tail end of the millennials, right? And a lot of these millennials, I meet a lot in their 20s, or men, women, they just kind of don't have it together. And yeah, they want to do this, they want to do that. I'm going to, or I used to. But basically, what do you say to these guys? Give them advice to, like, not have any fear and to reach for your goals and dreams.
My advice would just be to, you know, do what you say, first of all, you know, do what you say you're going to do. And, you not have any fear. You got to follow your passion. But you also have to be specific, and you have to be you got to be punctual in life. And the way I was brought up, like I said, fortunately, I feel like I was at the tail end of this whole millennial thing. And, you know, what I see a lot of now is people kind of hiding behind technology and not really looking at people in the eye. And unfortunately, they don't really even know how to have a conversation. And it's not everybody, but it's, you know, I'm not a good portion of it. And I think, you know, my advice would be to look the world in the eye, tell the truth, you know, do what you say, and be you got to be an adult. You know, you got to be an adult, and if you need something, you gotta learn how to work for it, and or ask how to get it. But you can't rely on Instagram or social media to
hide
to take care of your
to hide. You got it. You heard it from Mike Tamaro. Look the world in the eye. Be mature. That's right. Do what you say.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey, Mikey T. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm going to have to let you go here so I can close the show myself. But again, thanks for, kudos to the travel.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's always a blast. Be safe, of course, and let me know when I should book the plane ticket to Medellin.
I'll keep you posted for sure. I'll definitely let you know.
All right, brother. All right, I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Talk to you.
Peace.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Wow. All right, guys, you heard it. No doubt. If you're out there, you want to do some traveling, do it. Don't be afraid. I've never had any fear with that. But be smart wherever you are, whether you're online, whether you're out there on the streets. Stay away from trouble best you can. And, hey, take the shot. Take the chance while you got it, especially when you're young, guys. Do it when you're young. Thanks for tuning in. Another fun show here. Check me out on social at Rich Tola. You know where to find me on the website. And guys, have an amazing week. We'll see you next Monday. Peace.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.